coast to coast in Canada, across North America, and around the globe on the World Wide Web, this is Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network, presented by Subaru. And Raceline is driven by the 2019 Subaru WRX and WRX STI, the atypical sports car, Subaru, confidence in motion, by the Subaru BRZ, the formula for performance, and by Continental Tire, for what you do. A Subaru Canada presentation of your National Radio Motorsport Authority, the Raceline Radio Network. I'm Eric Thomas, host and anchor. Donna Pollard, our brand new Supreme Commander in Raceline Master Control. Andrew Holland manning the network for us. This week, wrapping up the 103rd running of the Indianapolis 500. Connecting with Toronto Star Wheels, Norris McDonald, live for the Brickyard for his take on the classic, won by Simon Pagenaud. We roll part two of our interview with Montreal's F2 sensation, Nicholas Latifi. Sebastian Vettel remembers legend Niki Lauda, plus more of your entries for the better-than-terrific Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest. And the race wrap news, full house again, Pagenaud wins. The Indy 500, Hinch is 11th, Lewis, your man in Monaco, and NASCAR into their notorious marathon at Charlotte. So for race fans everywhere and anywhere, powerful sport, powerful radio, it's our 27th year on the air across Canada. This is the Raceline Radio Network.
Hi, this is Rick Mears. Raceline Radio returns in a moment.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Eric Thomas, it's Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network. Latest news and opinion, and here we go for you on the Raceline Race Wrap. IndyCar, and of course, the 103rd running of the Indianapolis 500. And from the pole, Frenchman Simon Pagenaud leads more than half of the 200 laps and the 500-mile distance for his first Indy 500 win, number 18 for team owner Roger Penske. Pagenaud had to throw his bright yellow Dolores Chevy all over the racetrack to hold off Alex Rossi, though, in a thrilling 13-lap sprint to the finish. Rossi settled for second. Former winner Takuma Sato was third. A late-race red flag played right into Pagenaud's plans as he was having to save fuel. Canada's James Hinchcliffe from the last row battled back to wind up 11th. That's not bad. Hard charger of the race easily. Coming up on our second guest segment, going to wire in Toronto Star Wheels ace scribe and fellow Canadian Motorsport Hall of Famer Norris McDonald live from the Brickyard for his analysis of the classic and what a dandy it was. Indy Lights at IMS. A rookie wins here. Florida's Oliver Askew with former guest Canada's Dalton Kell at 5th. Pro 2000 Series at nearby Claremont, Indiana. The David Steele Carbonite Classic. Another rookie Daniel Frost wins. Canada's Parker Thompson 10th. A top 10 is pretty good, too. Oh, IndyCar showing us the newfangled windshield. See this thing? Added cockpit protection to be used starting in 2020. We'll have more on this in detail next week, but the drivers seem to like the design, at least. They're going to test it lots. Formula One, yes, still the odds, still true. Grand Prix of Monaco at Monte Carlo. Slow, tight, impossibly cramped, but still one of their best. Another easy one, though, for England's Lewis Hamilton, stretching his points advantage after fending off and having a little contact with Red Bull's Max Verstappen for his fourth win of the season for Lewis. An emotional weekend for Mercedes, really, following the death of Niki Lauda. Lewis Hamilton honored the three-time world champion in style by going lights to flag for the win. Ferrari Sebastian Vettel second, Valtteri Bottas third in the other Merc. Canada's Lance Stroll was up to 11th at one point, but 16th at the end and out of the points again, sadly. F1 points in the Canadian Grand Prix Montreal for TSN 690. Yeah, it's just about already here. Hamilton leading Bottas by 17 in drivers, but here's the telling one. Mercedes leads Ferrari. Continue to be confused. It's a 118-point gap in the constructors' fight. F1 file. We did mention this, but how sad we've lost legend and icon Andreas Nicholas Lauda in his 70th year after this, you know, just after his lung transplant, really, just shortly after lingering damage after that terrible fire-filled crash at the 76th German Grand Prix that scarred him so terribly. Niki Lauda won three F1 championships, as we said, one with McLaren and two with Ferrari. Current Ferrari pilot Sebastian Vettel, like many in the F1 family, shattered by the loss of this amazing and beloved Austrian.
I think sometimes people were not thinking he was telling the truth, even though he was very outspoken. A true character, a true racer, passionate for the sport. So a lot of things that I think people respected. For sure, he's leaving a big gap that we won't be able to fill.
Yeah, I agree with that. We thank Ferrari Media for that clip. Lauda, brutally honest. In his opinions, he was respected universally because of that. He redefined, I think, the word bravery. His biog reads like a superhero's. The 2013 movie Rush will show you. Godspeed, Mr. Niki Lauda, F2 at Monaco. Nick DeVries wins race number one, Canada's Nicholas Latifi, 12th. Freshman Antoine Hubert wins race number two, Canada's Nicholas Latifi, 10th in that one. Nick, with all of this, retains the F2 points lead by one over DeVries. Coming up in our first guest segment, by the way, part two of our interview with Montreal's rising F2 star, the amazing and getting more amazing Nicholas Latifi. NASCAR Cup, yes, of course, their marathon 60th anniversary Coke 600 at Charlotte. Needlessly long. As we're talking, we've not even made a dent in this thing, and they won't even be near done by the time we leave the air at the end of the hour, so you can go to NASCAR.com and keep track that way, okay? Xfinity at Charlotte, Tyler Reddick collecting checkers in that one. Are we entering a new era? NASCAR has spent $2 billion to buy International Speedway Corp., an aggressive move, they think, to gain control of the key tracks to set up sweeping changes that'll hopefully bring the fans back. ISC owns a dozen tracks that host NASCAR races, you see. And this will make it easier for NASCAR to change its schedule. Read that to mean fewer races. President Steve Phelps has made it pretty clear the current 38-race schedule, the longest in pro sport from February to the end of November, is just too taxing and too expensive for teams, fans, and sponsors. You know what? He's right. You'll also see the end, I think, of a track hosting two NASCAR Cup races in the same season. The Rally News. The Rally News, a presentation of the Subaru WRX and WRX STI, creating those monster sales. Canadian Rally Championship and the Rocky Mountain Rally, Invermere, BC for Radio NL. Brendan Semenuk and John Hall in their privateer Ford Fiesta held a 53-second lead on Joel Laval and Stephanie Lewis in their Mini Cooper with a couple of stages to go the last time anybody bothered to post something. We'll keep an eye on that one for you. The Continental Tire Sports Car Report brought to you by Continental Tire for what you do. This is another must-see racing movie. Our partner pal Okan Sen over at Continental Tire sent me the video, the 20th Century Fox film, The Art of Racing in the Rain. That's what it's called. Hits theaters in August. The film is based on Garth Stein's best-selling novel, of the same name, and IMSA fans will recognize many of the cars in the action footage. Several are also featured in the recently released trailer that's all over the internet. It's a story about a dog and racing. So bring yourself lots of Kleenex and just blame it on your allergies. Bikes, ESBK Pro Moto 3 at Barcelona. Saskatchewan's Jonathan Finn finishing 7th there. Belated congrats, by the way, to frequent guest Ben Young, who blew them all away in Canadian Superbike, their season opener at Shannonville, astride the Scott-built Barry Trim BMW S1000RR. Collingwood's Young topped the timesheets in every session, scored maximum points, bagging the pole, then led every lap winning the Superbike main, even stopping the unstoppable Jordan Zoke. Great work, Benj. Another Raceline Radio Network interview is coming up soon. Faces in the pits, NASCAR announcing the 2020 inductees entering their Hall of Fame. The five, Buddy Baker, Joe Gibbs, Bobby Labonte, Tony Stewart, and Waddell Wilson, all save Wilson, are former and multi-time Raceline Radio guests. Also announcing that Edsel Ford II, the second actually, will earn the 2020 Landmark Award for Outstanding Contributions to NASCAR. The class of 2020 was determined by votes cast by a panel that included reps from NASCAR, track owners, media, and fans. A distinguished group is going to be honored at the NASCAR Hall of Fame induction ceremony. They'll do that January 31st of 2020. And a fan favorite on the dirt modified circuit of the Northeast and Southern Ontario, Western New York, and Quebec, the Dr. Danny Johnson and Kingston's long-retired Pat O'Brien, part of the class of 2019 heading into the Dirt Motorsports Hall of Fame in Weedsport, New York. Danny O'Brien, of course, the brother of Pat O'Brien, is still active in the game. And, of course, Danny Johnson is still active in the game as well. And that's it for this week on the Race Wrap. Your questions, opinions, comments, and issues and headlines of the news encouraged. We do need to hear from you. Share your thoughts and theories with your fellow gearheads across Canada. Could win you the grand prize in the Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest. If you qualify to win, we play the contest shortly. All right, Donna, a pit stop goes right here. But coming up, part two of the interview with Canadian F2 points leader Nicholas Latifi. Then our Indianapolis 500 wrap-up with Norris McDonald live from IMS. This is Raceline, presented by Subaru. Arrange your performance drive this week at your local Subaru dealer anywhere along the Raceline Radio Network.
This is Simon Pagenaud, and you're listening to Raceline Radio.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Fan. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Canada's National Radio Motorsport Authority, yes indeed, the Raceline Radio Network. Once again, our never-ending quest on this here show to spotlight Canadian racing talent. We are very much impressed so far with the 23-year-old red-hot shoe from Montreal for TSN 690, who is winning and leading points in F2. That's a major development step to F1. Tillering for the French Dams racing team, he collected three victories over the first three doubleheaders at Bahrain, Baku, and Barcelona. And after Monte Carlo, he is still the current F2 series points leader. With the second of our two-part interview, Nicholas Latifi is back with us on Raceline Radio.
The new F2 car last year, and you said it's maybe a little bit slower. Is it more of a handful to drive, and maybe have you had to adjust your driving style, Nick, to suit what is still a relatively new F2 car?
Compared to the previous generation's car, which was new from last year, the car is around like 58 kilos heavier, so okay. Around like over 125 pounds heavier.
Yeah.
It's a V6 turbo now, as opposed to a V8 naturally aspirated. The car does make This current car does make a bit more downforce, so but it's heavier, more downforce, and yeah, the engine is different. So it does change quite a lot of the characteristics of how you have to set it up and as well how you have to drive it. And that was one of the things that I really struggled with last year, was kind of making the change from how I was driving the previous generation car and kind of how my team was able to set it up, which I was in quite a good place with it in 2017, having a very good season, scoring like 10 podiums. When they changed the car last year, I felt almost like as if all the experience I had from the previous year, like I had to throw it out the window. A lot of the bad races and bad sessions I had was kind of trying to rely and draw too much from that experience. Like, okay, last year this worked. This is how I was driving. This is how I was setting the car up. So, and we were doing that, and it was none of it was working. So it wasn't until like kind of the last third of last year where I kind of threw everything out the window, really started from scratch, kind of had to like teach myself a new way to drive.
Well, the fact that you were able to adapt, I mean, there are a lot of drivers out there that would be kind of lost to be able to, you know, or to be required to do that kind of an adjustment. So that's, I think, a feather in your cap. Nicholas Latifi from Montreal drives the number 6 for Dams Racing in the Formula 2 Championship. Our first opportunity to speak with him across Canada on the Raceline Radio Network. Talk about this team. I mean, they've been around probably 30 years or pretty close. You think about some of the drivers that have come through this organization. I mean, Sebastian Bourdais is, you know, F1, and then, of course, is a stalwart on the IndyCar side. Marcus Ericsson, ex-F1, is now teamed with fellow Canadian James Hinchcliffe over at Schmidt-Peterson. On the IndyCar side, Romain Grosjean with the Haas organization, Pierre Gasly. I mean, there's a long list of drivers that most people know that have come out of this team, so it sounds like you're in pretty good hands.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, looking back on their history in the sport, I mean, yeah, they're definitely one of the most successful junior single-seater teams there is. Obviously, from before Formula 2, GP2, it was Formula 3000, and you know, obviously they race in many other series as well, Formula Renault 3.5, and going back tons of series. And yeah, they've always been a top team ran at the front of whatever they competed in. So, that's also one of the reasons why I've stayed with them for the past few years.
Absolutely.
Especially in a championship like Formula 2, where you have so limited track time, as you said.
Yeah.
Having that kind of familiarity and continuity with the same team, I find really plays a big part. And, you know, being the past 4 years with them, I think it's as well really helped to strengthen the relationship and kind of, you know, the trust between, you know, me, my engineers, my mechanics, you know, when they know just to, like, trust me in terms of a decision I make or when I have to trust them. And
now, with your success in F2 and your F1 development part of your career, would it be overly simplistic to think that you're definitely got your guns pointed on something in Formula 1 for your future?
Yeah, I mean, that's my goal. That's what I'm working towards. The first thing that's going to bring me towards, you know, let's say the first part of that goal, which is arriving in Formula 1, is to perform in F2 and to win the championship. So that's what the mind is. Fully focus on now. That's the goal.
Another famous Montrealer involved in Formula One would be Master Lance Stroll. And the last time I talked to him, we made a little discussion about the Montreal Canadiens. I got to think, if you're from that town, you got to be a Habs fan. Am I right?
Okay. So first of all, actually, I'm just not a hockey fan in general.
Well, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I just
born in Montreal, but I actually Toronto when I was 6 months old. So,
oh, I see.
I still obviously visited Montreal so much growing up, and I mean, even now. The only time I get to go back is during the Canadian Grand Prix. But so I don't really have a preference between the Maple Leafs and the Habs, honestly. I don't follow it so much. But,
okay.
Yeah, it definitely was always a question I got growing up.
I would imagine so. And that's fine. That's all right. I mean, that's you've got your career here to carve, and that's fine. And listen, we've been dazzled by your success, especially so far this season, Nicholas. And we certainly, on behalf of everybody up and down the Raceline Radio Network across Canada, wish you the very best of luck and good hunting for the balance of the schedule. Because as long as you're winning races and heading up on the points, there's a lot of people, you know, in Formula One that are going to take notice of that. And I know you know that, and we do too. And we want to wish you continued success with it. And thank you so much for the time, Nick.
Thank you. Appreciate it for having me here.
The current points leader in the F2 racing series, plus he is also a test driver for Williams in F1. You absolutely have to think, because of all of this and the success he's had so far this year, that he is Canada's next strong F1 possibility. Montreal's own Nicholas Latifi, whether he's a hockey fan or not, never mind. On Raceline Radio, going to be watching F2 very closely for the rest of the season, obviously. Alrighty, Donna, let's do up another pit stop right about here, but still to come, the Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest, and then our Indianapolis 500 wrap-up special officially with Norris McDonald live from the Brickyard. This is the Raceline Radio Network.
This is Scott Dixon, and you're listening to Raceline Radio.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Canada's National Radio Motorsport Authority, by gosh, the Raceline Radio Network. I'm Eric Thomas. Check out my Thomas Tales columns at Inside Track Motorsport News Magazine and on the web at sportsnet.ca. New mag, new issue coming out very, very shortly, I would think. So away we go with our Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest. Another grand prize pack to win if you qualify by answering the Subaru trivia questions correctly in your emailed comments. If you do, your entry goes into the break drum with the winner drawn at random at the end of the on-track racing season in November. The qualifying trivia question currently you need to answer to qualify to win with the 2019 Subaru WRX STI. At what RPM is peak power achieved with a 310 horsepower turbocharged boxer engine? I shall read it again. The qualifying trivia question you need to answer to qualify with the 2019 Subaru WRX STI. At what RPM is peak power achieved with a 310 horsepower turbocharged boxer engine? Okay? Use Eric at racelineradio.ca to connect and enter the contest to win the prize pack. That's Eric at racelineradio.ca. Capital E-R-I-K, the symbol at racelineradio, like one big word. Don't put a gap in there. She'll bounce. .ca. Eric at racelineradio.ca. Let us now go to the mailbag and see what we have. Oh, before we do that, Norris McDonald coming up a little bit later in the program here in our second guest segment. Wow, what an Indy 500. The last 13 laps especially were phenomenal. What a performance by Simon Pagenaud. And Hinchcliffe, last row, and he finishes 11th. That's not bad. Not bad at all. A little programming note, too, a little mini one here off the top before we get into our entries for the contest. On our Niagara Western New York affiliate, News Talk 610, CKTV St. Catharines, they're now podcasting the show in addition to their twice-weekly airings, live Sunday nights at 8, and the replay Saturday afternoons at 4. Just go to their website, 610ctv.com, click on Shows, scroll down to Weekends, and there we are. You can now grab the latest and backlog shows wherever you want on 610 CKTV, and splendid work there by Tom McConnell and the rest of the crew to start podcasting Raceline Radio with their two airings a week, Sunday nights, 8 o'clock live, and then the replay on Saturday afternoons at 4, and now podcasted and backlogged with some of the shows if you do happen to miss them, and some people do and like to grab them when they can. Had a note here who listened, Yasser Zia. Yep, from Sportsnet 590 The Fan in Toronto. He wanted to enter the contest. He says, STI peak torque comes in at 4,000 RPM. Close, but no cigar. Sorry, Yasser, you can look it up again and enter as many times as you like. So, well, that kind of homes it in, right?
right? It's in the, obviously it's in the thousands, but I can't tell you what the answer is, obviously. We give it all away. But anyway, Yasser, I said, thanks for the entry, Yasser. What station do you tune in to hear the show? And he says, Eric, in all honesty, and this is really, really good. When I read this, he says, Eric, in all honesty, I'm not a regular Raceline radio listener, but I had the radio tuned to Sportsnet 590 The Fan in Toronto listening to the Raptors game. Yeah, and success to the Toronto Raptors, and well wishes into the final. What a nice accomplishment that is, and good luck against Golden State. Anyway, Yasser goes on to say, when I got into the car, though, late at night, your show was on after the Raptors game, so I only discovered the show last night for the very first time. I liked what you were talking about, so I kept it tuned in, and he enters the contest. And I said, you know what? That's perfect, because that's how you build an audience. Every once in a while, you get somebody new, and they tune in. They like what you hear, and that's one thing we need to remember, that it's a racing show, but one of the reasons why I think we've lasted close to 30 years, we also try to be as entertaining as we can, remembering that any show, no matter what you're doing, gardening show, cooking show, racing show, it's got to be entertaining, and you know, and God love you. I think most people think we are, and that's good, and we thank Yasser for his entry. He may want to adjust the figure a little bit, but we do thank him for tuning in and listening in. And now you got to think that maybe he'll be a more regular listener. And as I say, that's through the reason why we do this, and that's through the method of growing your audience. Wendy Hollis, the lovable Merrittville maniac, News Talk 610, CKTV St. Catharines. She's talking about that affiliate. Eric, heard your show last week and heard what you said about Bowyer and Newman, because I get reports for the NASCAR website and finally come to this opinion. Now that Kyle Busch seems to have learned some manners, what does Bowyer think he is going to accomplish by acting like Kyle Busch used to? Doesn't he get it? That this kind of behavior is pretty petty and pretty much bully-like, and that's a good way to lose fans and lose sponsors, just saying. By the way, my answer to your trivia question, E.T., is a way-out guess in the dark, so here goes. The RPM peak power achieved in the 310 turbocharged boxer engine in the Subaru WRX STI is, she's got it nailed, yay, ding, ding. How much more mining do I need to do? Not a lot more. As a matter of fact, you had it nailed. So now, Wendy can go in, even though she knows. She can go back in and enter this contest as many times as she wants, because Donna says we can't have too many rules, and we like it that way. Send us your entries or comments. Use Eric at RacelineRadio.ca to get in here. With a 2019 Subaru WRX STI, what's the peak RPM achieved with a 310-horsepower turbocharged boxer engine? Okay, let's work the pit stop here, Donna. Then we go live and direct to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and Norris McDonald from the Toronto Star Wheels for his take on the Indy 500. It's Raceline, presented by Subaru, for the ultimate in performance handling test drive of BRZ Sports Coupe this week along the Raceline Radio Network.
This is Ryan Hunter-Reay, and you're listening to Raceline Radio.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free.
Canada's National Radio Motorsport Authority. We are our 27th consecutive season on the air across Canada. We are the Raceline Radio Network. Simon Pagenaud wins the 103rd running of the Indianapolis 500. Canada's James Hinchcliffe, 11th at the end. Taking it all in once again this year from his media perch on the famous pagoda at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, he is the ace correspondent from Toronto Star Wheels, and proud to say, a fellow Canadian Motorsport Hall of Famer. Live and direct, I think he's at the Brickyard. He may be back at the hotel. Our official wrap-up of the Indianapolis 500, and back with us, our very good pal, Norris McDonald. Hi, Norris.
What a lead-in. Holy cow. I'm going to have to send you a check for that
one. Well, that's okay. The check's in the mail. Now, before we get into anything,
right?
This is a special anniversary for you covering this event, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Tell us why.
This marked my 50 years
wow.
as an assigned accredited reporter. The first one I covered for the Globe and Mail back in 1969
wow.
was the one and only race that Mario Andretti won.
In the Bronner Hawk.
Absolutely. Clint Bronner, I was the was the chief mechanic, and Andy Granatelli was the owner. Who,
that's it.
Of course, everybody remembers he planted a smooch on Andretti's kisser.
Yes, he did.
Usually something the Hollywood actress on on, you know, or the festival queen.
Yep.
Anyway, it was great.
Yeah, it was good. Now, I'd have to say, and you've taken in many more of these than I have, but I've got to say that having watched that thing from start to finish, what a performance by Pagano. But Norris, what a race, especially in that 13-lap shootout at the end after we had that red flag. I mean, wow. I mean, if you're not entertained by that, there's something wrong with you, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know something? You know, Eric, the guy who made that race, the guy who was responsible, was the fellow who finished second.
Yeah, and Alex Rossi.
That's Alexander Rossi.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, you know, that had been a very routine race. Yeah, there have been a couple of things that happened in the pits.
Yeah, a few things.
But a very routine race until about the 150-lap mark.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, Mr. Rossi said, I'm going to win this sucker. And
yep.
he went to town.
He did.
And it was at that point that Pagano got the message. That was when Penske got the message. They sent Newgarden into the lead there for a bit to try to suck Rock.
Draft him along, yeah.
Maybe chasing him a little bit too much, using up a little bit too much fuel.
Yep.
All that sort of stuff. And I'm telling you, that last 50 laps was among the best racing of the Indianapolis 500 I have ever seen. And as you said, you're absolutely right. You weren't entertained by that. You're dead.
There's something wrong with you. From Toronto Star Wheels and a fellow Canadian Motorsport Hall of Famer, our very good friend, Mr. Norris McDonald, live from Indianapolis. We're wrapping up the 103rd running of the Indianapolis 500. But you know what? It may be just me and you, maybe you thought about this thing too. The way Pagano was throwing that bright yellow Dallara Chevy around that track, even, you know, getting in the way and preventing Rossi from getting around him, especially down low, I'm thinking to myself, they're not going to charge him with blocking, are they? Am I being an alarmist there or what?
It's really interesting.
Yes, it is.
In the post race press conference,
right?
Alexander Rossi was really angry. Okay. He was angry because number one, the Honda did not have the horsepower to match the Chevrolet.
He did mention that. That's right.
Number two, he was browned off that they'd had the problem with the fueling equipment.
Yes.
Now, it could have been worse, but, you know, as he said, we've come here four times and three times, we have had the same problem. You can't put fuel in the car.
Yeah.
So he was mad.
Yes.
And then he was obviously angry about the blocking. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I said to him,
yes,
Mr. Rossi, I said, some people might have interpreted what Pagano was doing on the last lap as blocking.
Yeah.
Which, did you consider an appeal? And he said, he sure was moving around, but he said, look, it's the last lap of the Indianapolis 500.
Okay.
And he said, they're not going to do anything. Now, I was going to ask a follow-up, but somebody else already had the microphone.
I see.
I was going to say, well, they didn't disqualify the winner of the Kentucky Derby for the last 150 years.
But they did this year.
They did this year.
Sure did.
So there could have been a possibility.
First thing,
that you could have made a case. However, you know something?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, they all have to race together.
Yes.
They all have to go on from here and race to the end of the season. I don't think, considering it's the biggest race in the world, that anybody wants to really rock the boat.
Okay. No, I see that. I see that, yeah. So I see that.
I could understand that. Now, having said that, if the tables had been reversed and he was blocking Pagano.
Yeah.
Would Roger Penske not have considered an appeal?
I'm thinking he probably would.
He probably might have considered it anyway.
But he got his 18th, so he's okay.
He got his 18th. And you know something? It was funny because the word has been around since I got here Friday.
Right.
That Pagano does not have a lot of job security.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, of course, you know, he's been unstoppable all month. He won the Grand Prix 2 weeks ago.
Got the pole for here.
He won the pole for the race. Then he dominated. Yep. He led 116 of the 200 laps.
Well over half, yeah.
Something that's never happened before. Anyway, when Penske comes up for the post-race press conference, somebody said, so does Pagano have job security? And Roger said, you bet he does. But then Roger said something interesting.
Uh-oh.
He said, I never said anything to the media about Pagano being in jeopardy.
Yeah.
However, if you interpret what he said there,
yeah.
he didn't say Pagenaud's job was never in jeopardy. He said, I never said to the media.
He never said to the media. That's However, right. I think winning the Indy 500 may help his Pagenaud's stock.
I think his job is secure. I do not think that Elio Castroneves, who had a one-off with Penske, you know, he drives for Penske in the IMSA series.
That's right,
now,
yep.
And they brought, you know, one more kick of the can.
Three-time winner, yep.
Yeah, yep. They tried to get him a fourth. Didn't work out last year, didn't work out this year.
No.
I would not be surprised if Mr. Penske goes back to four cars next year and Mr. Rossi happens to be one of the drivers.
That's been rumored for a while. That's interesting, too.
I've got a little feeling that just might be in the works.
Before we run out of clock here, and that's always annoying when that happens, Norris McDonald with us wrapping up the Indy 500. Hinchcliffe from the last row, 32nd to finish 11th, just outside the top 10. I don't think we could expect more from him, could we have?
No.
I'll tell you.
He did a great job. The team did a great job. You know, I mean, sure, if they'd had another couple of yellows, another couple of restarts, it's possible that he could have worked his way up a little bit further.
Yep.
But considering the way things went this weekend and the way they went specifically today, Eric, I think James Hinchcliffe did a marvelous job. He might have, you know, I think he wanted a top 10, but he just missed by one.
Yeah.
But it's double points.
That's it.
And he got a heck of a lot more finishing 11th than he would have if he finished 30th or 32nd. I think he did fine.
And I think you didn't get a chance to see a lot of it maybe in your travels, but I thought NBC in their first kick at it, I thought did very, very well. I thought they had it covered. It had Earnhardt Jr. in there, and they had Danica there and Mike Tirico, and I thought they did a pretty good job, Norris.
Well, as you say, I didn't see the whole program.
There you are.
Because of course I was actually trying to keep track of what was going on up there.
Yeah.
I did hear that Danica really did a good job.
She did. She did a good job.
And you know, she explained a lot of things about the emotions.
A lot of technical stuff, too, she explained.
Apparently, at one point, she apologized to everybody she might have
ignored.
Ground off.
When she was driving.
Her zone, and people are sticking out. You know, I thought that was really honest.
It was. It really was. And I thought the president...
You know, you've been around long enough to know that, you know, some drivers could care less and are jovial to the second they get in the cockpit.
True enough.
You know, you didn't talk to Jackie Stewart the whole day of a Grand Prix back in the
No.
You know, you just didn't do it. So,
his game face on.
I thought it was pretty good. When I heard that she'd done that, I thought that's A-okay.
She did a great job. Looked like a pretty good crowd. Did it look larger to you than last year? And we got a couple of seconds here, Norris.
I really think it was about the same.
Okay.
And I know that some of the over... Because I did see some of the news coverage here in Indianapolis around supper time. They did have that on at the Speedway. And some of the aerial shots showed, you know, that it was a little thin in places.
Sure.
But you know something? It's just like a road course. Indianapolis, people sit for
all over the place.
And then they get up and move around. And they're in them, and they're, you know, they're wandering down to turn four and turn three on the infield.
Yep.
So I think that they had their 250 to 300,000. Regardless of the exact total, it's a whack of people.
Norris, always too much fun having you on the air with us. We thank you for helping us wrap up the Indy 500. Thanks again, pal. Speak to you again soon.
My pleasure, and for sure, Eric. Let's stay in touch.
Absolutely. Live from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, there's Toronto Star Wheels' Norris McDonald on Raceline Radio. Okay, Donna, fire up that final pit stop, and then we'll return for the last lap for next week's show, lineup, and more. This is Raceline presented by Subaru, powered by the heart-pounding WRX STI, now 14-time Canadian Rally Manufacturers Champion on the Raceline Radio Network.
This is Edu Castroneves, and you are listening to Raceline Radio.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Demand. Eric Thomas, Raceline Across Canada on the Raceline Radio Network. White flag signaling, one more lap to go. So here's what we're planning to do for you for next week. Could have sound from Indy 500 winner Simon Pagenaud, how it played out in his mind to win the biggest automobile race in the world. Yes, it is upon us that fast. We're going to preview the F1 Canadian Grand Prix Montreal with F1 specialist Sean Starr from our Montreal affiliate TSN 690, plus a few more entries for the Raceline Subaru email bag trivia contest. But when checkers fly, we say goodbye. Hugh Normus, Raceline, thanks. Going out to Nicholas Latifi and Dams Racing, Sebastian Vettel and Ferrari F1 Media, and from Toronto Star Wheels, live from Indianapolis, our good friend Norris McDonald. Thanks to Supreme Commander Donna Pollard. Nice work, Donna, and Andrew Holland as well for production and operational excellence. So from all of us at Raceline Radio, I'm Eric Thomas. So long, everyone. Raceline Coast to Coast on the Raceline Radio Network, presented by Subaru, has been driven by the Subaru WRX and WRX STI Subaru. Confidence in motion. You can learn more at Subaru.ca. By the 2019 Subaru BRZ, the formula for performance. And by Continental Tire, for what you do. Talk to y'all again next week, and we'll do it right here on Raceline Radio.